Well, that was Juice Barlizzo finishing off on Dutch Discs this evening, and we've certainly got some juice going at the moment. It's great to do a show when everybody's feeling so upbeat. It's been a long time, I think, since we felt this way about the club and about the players and everything. Here's the titles for the Sunday Sports Show. We're back together again, myself and Angela Smith, and we look forward to hearing from you. So here's the titles for the Sunday Sports Show.
The goal that took Stoke City back to Wembley for the first time in 20 years. Young Paul Ware crashing at home from the free kick.
Ricardo Fulham scored for Stoke! Stoke City with 10 men are ahead!
And that's it, a superb! Strike by Hoekstra, he's hit it first time and he's hit it absolutely brilliantly.
And once again, Arsenal have been undone by a Stoke contract.
This is always the lap. The noise meant to not different.
Good evening, and just when you want a clean sheet, three come along like buses. As Russ said at the start, what a great turnaround, and whilst we're not out of the woods yet, we look like we've turned a massive corner. So without further ado, I think we need to discuss the West Brom game as well as yesterday's victory. But I'd just like to say at the start that Michael O'Neill's been a breath of fresh air, and I'm not sure how many people would have expected the turnaround we've had, but as I put out a tweet last night, he's gone around and about it in a calm, measured way. No chest thumping, just kept going, and he clearly has got the respect of the players, and they're all working extremely hard. And if you'd have thought that the sale or the loan signings of Etebo and Ndai out of the building and Woods out of the building would have had this sort of impact, in so much that they haven't been missed as yet, then I don't think many people would have thought you were a sane and rational human being. But Russ, what did you think of the game?
On Monday, I thought, well, as you know, Ange, I was at Winsford watching a much different game than that, on a much worse pitch in the fog. But no, it was great. It was great to read the comments and then watch the highlights afterwards, I've got to be honest. I mean, it was a good. The one thing I noticed from the game, and I noticed again yesterday, is that this feel-good factor has even got through to players like Tom Ince. You know, that there's no way that 4 weeks ago Tom Ince would have put the shift in to create that chance for Campbell in the first place. And, you know, there's no way that would have happened. And I must say that yesterday he followed it up with another fantastic performance too. But, that you know, we'll come on to that. More like it anyway, let's put it that way, in terms of effort, because if Tom Ince is putting the effort in, then a good performance should follow, you know, because he has got a lot of talent. He might cut in a lot on his left and he might do this, but he's got a lot of talent if he puts the effort in. But I think it's the feeling that the players have got in relation to the fact that now we don't have to score three goals to win a game of football. Suddenly we're starting to look like a unit. Suddenly we're starting to look like a team who can keep a clean sheet. Suddenly the goalkeeper is beginning to look like a goalkeeper who we all know he is and was, which is fantastic. And coming on to yesterday as well, what an important save that was at that moment. That's a goal that would have gone in again 6 weeks ago. I'm sure that was a wonderful save down to his left low. You know, and I know he's got a lot of plaudits for, you know, pushing people out of the way in injury time on Monday and getting, you know, playing patty cake with that ball about three times and diving on it. I did sort of, I was tempting a bit of grief, I think, on Twitter when I said, can you just imagine if he'd have patty caked that ball and it'd have fallen to a West Brom player and they'd have slammed it in to make it 1 each. And, you know, that's the sort of thing a couple of, what were we talking about, Ange, a couple of months ago about things just not going our way at all, and you know, and that happens, you know, let's be honest, there was about 15 players within about 5 or 10 yards of Jack Butland when, you know, when that Patty Cake incident was going on, and he managed to keep it under control, push people out of the way and everything. You know full well what would have happened 2 months ago. It would have been a Butland calamity, and somebody would have put it in for a last minute equaliser, and it'd have been hell to pay, wouldn't there, Ange? It would.
Absolutely.
He'd have got full, he'd have got pelters. Football, you know, you do get on a roll, don't you? And I think at the moment, when you look at the form table, Ange, I think we're second in the form table behind Nottingham Forest, you know, with 13 points, I think, out of the last 5 matches. I mean, it's just an unbelievable turnaround. And like I say, a lot of people were watching the game inside the clubhouse at Winsford, and it's always lovely when you go, you know this, Ange, when you go to events and your team is playing on the, you know, on the box, and people are saying, this doesn't look like the Stoke I saw a couple of months ago. You know, this is independent people saying this, you know, Man United fans and people like that who were there at Winsford. And it's great to hear Stoke look a lot more solid, from indifferent, not just from Stoke fans looking with red and white tinted glasses at it, from people who've got no interest in Stoke doing well at all, and saying they're making West Brom look ordinary, you know, they haven't really done anything, you know, Stoke have defended well. And like I say, it looks all of a sudden like people, I mean, people were, Danny Bart looks like he's grown a foot in the last...
Liam Lindsay.
And Lindsay, who people would have, you know, Lindsay now looks like the player who we must have been interested in when we signed him. Yes, okay, he still does the odd thing with the football, you know, when he, but who doesn't at that, you know, at this level, we're not talking about, you know, top class footballers. I mean, sometimes he screws the ball out into touch and things like that, but he looks solid, and all of a sudden, Bruno seems to be comfortable in that position where, to be frank, he hasn't looked that comfortable for me in that position any time he's played, but at the moment he does. James McLean is, for all the, you know, for all the controversy about the signing and everything, now he's beginning to look like the player who Gary Rowett signed all those, you know, those months ago. He's putting a great shift in. I mean, that wasn't easy yesterday. He did the right thing. He just got his head down and blasted it. Fair play to him. But I mean, it's just looking great. I mean, it was, like I say, I was driving down the motorway when the final whistle went on Monday, and you're there punching the air. The emotion is there. I'm sure the fans were exactly the same in the stadium. And it was just a great lift. But of course, we're now doing things that we haven't been able to do over the last couple, 2 or 3 seasons, Ange. We're now stringing results together. We're now starting, you know... You know, 6 months ago, we'd have lost that game yesterday, you know, straight after a big win like that. We're now following it up with another decent performance. But, no, fantastic result. And if we can win there, where can't we win?
Well, you've just talked about the West Brom game and briefly about yesterday. The one thing, if I could put a downer on anything, which you don't want to do, is, again, we just seem to have the ability to miss chances that, okay, you have to create them to miss them, but Vokes missed a really good chance, and Gregory missed a good chance. He did the same again at West Brom when he missed a chance. But it's good that we're making chances. And the one player we haven't really spoken about is Nick Powell. I think Nick Powell has become a real influence in the Stoke team. I know Joe Allen's playing well, but what do you think about Nick Powell?
I think he's just that little bit of class. He's got that. He does. He's going to frustrate you at times, I think, because he tries things that maybe other players don't try, and sometimes they don't come off. You know, if he's got a one-on-one with a player, sometimes he'll try a nutmeg or something like that, and he just, you know, when it comes off, it's ideal. But if it doesn't, you know, you get a bit irritated with him. But there's no doubt whatsoever this lad has got, did have talent. And what we, I can't, we don't know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, Luke. You know, we've done this programme for a long time now, and only the people who are really involved on a day-to-day basis really know what's happening behind the scenes with the players, what the players really think about the management, what the players... What it looks to me like is, at the moment, we've got brought a manager in who the players, not they don't have to like him, but they clearly respect him. That, you know, you can tell that by the level of performance that everybody is putting in. He seems to have worked. I'm going to come back to Tom Ince, because, like I say, Tom Ince, 2 games ago, was not in this side, and most fans who are listening to this programme would have sold him. I'm sure they would have sold him in this January transfer window. He's come in and played in these last 2 matches. Whether he's had a one-on-one word with him, I don't know. Or whether it's just the fact that he's been left out of the team and it's given him a right kick up the butt. And he knows that if he doesn't perform, there's people sitting on the bench like Belinden and people like that lad Jordan Thompson who's come in. There are people there who are going to take his place. He's not going to automatically be selected like he thought he was, you know, a few weeks ago. But Powell, like I say, coming back to Powell, we know from when he was playing at Wigan, when he played at Crewe, there is a quality player in there somewhere. And funnily enough, he's now seems injury free and not picking up that, you know, that irritating injury every now and then. He wants to be out there and he wants to be playing. And again, it's amazing when your team gets on a roll, when things are going well, people don't have that little hamstring niggle or something like that, do they, that keeps them out. They're there, they're available. He's keeping as, you know, settled a team as he possibly can. Obviously, he had to make that change yesterday because Campbell had the hamstring niggle at West Brom. But it's all going well, touch wood. And like I say, the closing song tonight is Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac. And I think the manager's saying, we're not going to rest on our laurels. You know, there's a lot of things we've still got to improve on. There's a lot of points still needed. We're looking up rather than down. That's the right sort of comments. But, you know, it's a remarkable... To me, were we 7 points clear of the drop zone, Ange? And we were bottom.
You can almost say 8 with the goal difference.
And we were bottom when he came.
Yeah.
It just backs up what people like us were saying, that we didn't think we were as bad as we were performing. But you've got to find that magic solution behind the scenes that gets a group of 25 players all singing off the same hymn sheet and taking the club forward, haven't you?
Well, it's obvious that he's made the squad smaller, as he said he would, and you then wonder what's going to happen to the likes of Hogan and Duffy. He's already said he wants them to leave the club, but then you look at the papers and Aston Villa don't want Hogan back, which you can understand because we are paying his wages. So we're obviously going to try and get rid of those two this week. Sheffield don't want Duffy back either. So without those going out, I don't think anybody will come in. And I do hope that Mamdouf gets a club, because just to see him doing a bit for a 1 minute at the end of a game, to me, is not the way he deserves to end his career. But I thought, what do you think about Sam Klukas's performances at the moment? And what do you think about him sprinting down to the middle of the field? I thought that was brilliant. The number of times people have come to Stoke and done that at Stoke, and we had a player that was willing to just have whatever the term is, banter, or wind people's bodies up because he was getting a bit of stick. I just thought that was great, and he didn't go off the pitch and he didn't go too close, but he made his point.
Still thought he'd get booked though, but that's
well, it'd be a first that the referee saw yesterday if he was going to get any bookings.
But I didn't I have to be honest and say I didn't think it until the second half in particular. It was Sam Klukas's best game.
I have to be honest. Joe Allen was great yesterday.
But I can't. There isn't many people in our team who I would like it to fall to on the edge of the box at the moment. Less than Sam Klukas.
And a right footer as well.
I don't really. It doesn't matter because he can do it. And it was now as soon as it left his foot, it was in. You know, I mean, he was one of them cracking it. And like I say, I don't mind though. And you know, I mean, the one thing that pleasantly surprised me yesterday was the lack of stick that James McLean got from the opposition. So I wonder whether or not the message is getting through. I doubt it, but I wonder, you know, it made me wonder whether or not the message was getting through. But it's the same principle from him, isn't it? I mean, if he gets stick from the opposition supporters, you know, he would be surprised if he actually, you know, did something similar to Klukas in the future.
Yeah, and I have to say, in terms of stick, that at West Brom, there was very little. I heard no stick from either set of fans to James McLean.
Oh, that's
West
good.
Brom
that's
either.
Good news, Ange.
We got booed, but I heard nothing other than that.
Well, like I say, that's good news, because I was surprised, pleasantly surprised yesterday. The it was rather quiet on that front. I mean, he got booed, okay, but that, you know, what can
yeah.
you know?
Well, I mean, that happens.
So, but there was nothing, there was no sectarian stuff for
no,
a change.
No, and I think they've now realised that they are going to get in trouble, because there are three clubs already that we've played that are under investigation.
Yeah.
So before you go on to stuff on Facebook about the polls, Booth and Boys 1863 on the Oatcake says, "Evening, guys, hope you're well. I haven't listened for a few weeks due to other things on, and I can honestly say I've missed the show." Well, you can listen, you know, we do have a podcast. What a difference a couple of weeks makes. I know we're still a million miles away from what we all expected, but for what's happening now to what has been happening, I'm more than content. Brilliant at West Brom, solid, which is a surprise. I didn't go, I only watched it on the telly, but I really enjoyed it. The Swansea game was fantastic as well. I never once thought they'd score, and that's weird saying that as a Stoke fan of late. I was sort of glad that Swansea came out and played on the front foot, because that suits us. We struggle when teams sit in and defend against us, so Swansea almost fell into our trap and it worked brilliantly. I can't believe that these players are the same players from 3 months ago. They look organised, driven and proud, and that's all we can ever ask for. There's a bloke behind me who hates Ince, and yesterday when Smith was out of position, Ince ran the length of the pitch to cover for him.
Correct.
And it was so un-Ince-like, it was unbelievable. I turned round and laughed at the bloke behind, and he said he couldn't believe his eyes. It looks as though they're working for each other and for the manager, and in this league, with these players, if we match the effort of the majority of the teams, we've got the quality to beat them. It's really that simple. I can't wait for Derby now. Onward and upwards, City till the end. Thank you, Boone Boys 1863.
Yeah, right. On Facebook, cracking post, by the way. George Harding says, a team that's starting to be proud of, finally defending like a team and finally seeing the positives in some of Jones' signings, Bart, Lindsay, Smith. Smith looked class yesterday and shows why we signed him. I would offer McLean a new contract, as he really does. A new contract? He's got four years, hasn't he?
Okay.
As he really does care about this club and is an outstanding player. Just a negative, I've heard Edwards has not had a good time of it behind the scenes. So regardless of whether he's one of ours, he could possibly be gone. So George has been hearing rumours that I've not heard. Craig Willis says good evening. There's loads of people saying good evening.
Good evening.
Melanie Stanway says, what a week that was. that was the programme. There was a programme call.
That was the week that was.
Philip Pinchy says, good evening. What a difference a week makes. Alan Swindle says, evening to you both. Do you think Stoke have struck it lucky with O'Neill like they did with Lou and to appoint TP?
Well, I certainly think we could have done a lot worse. And for me, the one thing that is clear is that they have worked so hard on the organisation of the team. Everybody knows what they're doing. And whilst we haven't got the greatest back five, they are working so hard. And as you said earlier, Bart and Lindsay, they've now got something into their brain that they haven't got before, which was edit, belt it away. If you can't pass it to somebody, just get it up the pitch.
To be fair to Danny Bart, he was playing like that when he first arrived.
Yeah,
now
he's
playing at the moment, and then he's had a downward spell.
Yeah.
And he's now back. I mean, funnily enough, Ange, some fans will know that they saw me down at the under-18s game in the morning against Norwich. Under-18s, by the way, my goodness, 8-0 win yesterday in the Premier League quarter-final. And obviously the players were reporting for duty, you know, for the game in the afternoon and then leaving and going up in the cars. And my daughter and I came across Danny Bart and just, you know, standing face to face with him and talking to him and things, and how tall and what a specimen the guy is, you know, an imposing character. And you don't realise what these people are actually like when they're on the pitch, when you're sitting up in the stands and whatever. He should be a dominant character on the pitch. You know, he's got that look about him. And like I say, it's great to see him actually leading that back four in that team. And like I say, Liam Lindsay, for me, I mean, he's got some real stick, but I know why he's playing him at the moment instead of Collins, obviously, because of the left-sided, he's a left-sided, left-footed centre-half, so he wants to keep that sort of balance in the team. I know he likes Collins a lot, and the Collins time will surely come, but Liam Lindsay deserves a lot of praise because he's playing in a back four that's not conceding many goals at the moment, keeping clean sheets, playing against some difficult opposition. Yesterday was a different task than on Monday night because West Brom were a bit more physical. They've got a bit more physical presence. We all know what Swansea's DNA is. Swansea's DNA is to pass it around and try and create chances that way. That's a difficult, different challenge altogether for Danny Barton and Liam Lindsay. And although we didn't get to grips with it as a team for the first 25 minutes, probably still had Mundy in our legs. As soon as we got to grips with the game and Jack Butland produced that one wonderful save, I thought it was a great save. I don't think it was a routine save at all. No. I think it was a wonderful save down to his left. Like I say, one that he wouldn't have made probably a couple of months ago. He looks more confident. I know he dropped one, didn't he, towards the end in the box, but generally looks far more confident. And you know, that was the Jack Butland who saved us time and time and time again in the spell where he was brilliant. And that helps the team. You know, it keeps we kept a clean sheet when in many, many other games, Ange, we'd have conceded an early goal in that sort of situation, wouldn't we, at home, even this season. That's what's changed.
There were a couple of things that I found interesting, and I'd like to know what people at home think. Post-match, the Swansea manager, which you saw on our Twitter feed, said that he felt our crowd were going against us. Well, I must have become so inured to what we're doing these days, because I never thought the crowd got against us at all. I thought we were getting a bit edgy after the first 20 minutes, but I didn't hear any booing and slaughtering of the team, did you?
No.
But look, we thoroughly deserved
the win. I thought that was a bit of sour grapes, because we've not been having... I mean, we're going to start hearing managers sounding a bit... You've got fed up of managers coming into the press room and being ever so complimentary about us when they've walked off with 3 points.
Yeah.
If we carry on like this, you're going to hear the opposite.
Absolutely.
A lot of sour grapes because if he thinks Swansea deserved anything out of that game based on the second half.
Well, based on after 25 minutes.
That's what I mean. I mean, the second half, that was great as well, Andrew. I haven't mentioned it. 1-0 up. We're going for another, and we're constantly going for another. We're attacking. Again, one of my big bugbears over the last 3 seasons. You know, when we get a goal and we get teams on the run, we just switch off and sit back. No, not anymore.
No, and the mark of a good manager is whenever you speak to him after the match or whenever we do something good, he talks about we've got to do this, that and the other better. He's not the sort of bloke that's going to... Sit on his laurels and work out what we're doing. He's just going to want to keep going forward. So I believe one or two of you are having trouble with the tuning at the moment. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just the volume of listeners. Mm. So Crouch Potato on the Oatcake says that evening to you both and great to hear the A-team back together again. What a great week it's been results-wise with two very good performances against two good sides. O'Neill's made us a team again, and certain players that have been much maligned all season have suddenly started to look like they care and want to play for this manager. He's got us doing the basics again, and every player is buying into it, and long may it continue. The manager seems to be going down the British route with the team squad and creating a great team spirit. Can't wait for Friday for the biggest game of the season for me personally, and let's hope we continue this run. I'm sure we all do, but there's something you've got to bear in mind as well, is it's a Friday night, and you know, it's a big ask to front up, and I think he'll try and play as many of the players that he played to continue Will Tyrese Campbell be ready? I'm not so sure he
will. Don't forget, they're playing in midweek. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, and I think Ryan might... I saw Ryan yesterday and he was looking well on the men. Valinden's still got a little knock. So it'll be interesting to see what team he plays, but you need to catch up on...
Yeah, did you think, before I go back to that though, Ange, what did you think? I know he did the same thing on Monday night. I got a bit of stick. I can take it.
I've
got broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought at the game there was no need to bring Collins on. And I know they put attackers on, but it wasn't... And I know first thing Collins did was head out that free kick that it was a difficult one to get away, and he did well. But I could only see one winner. I couldn't see them equalising or anything, and it seemed a bit negative. But again, that's just the way it's going at the moment. If we break up the other end of the pitch and we score, you know. But if they'd have got an equaliser after we'd gone three centre halves, like I say, I know we did it at West Brom. Different scenario there. You know, we were in the cosh. We weren't under the cosh, I don't think, when he brought Collins.
I did.
You thought you were under the cosh?
I thought...
Well, this is opinions, isn't it? This
absolutely.
Is football. For me, there was only one winner. Now, people saying, yeah, he did the right thing, bringing Collins on, etc., etc. Well, obviously he did now, because we've won the game 2-0. But again, what I'm saying is, I was preempting what stick might be handed out if he brings Collins on, so makes us sit back and then they get an equaliser. That reminded me of a certain other manager, you shall not be named.
Yeah.
And what used to happen to him quite a lot, as you know, Ange, in them times, we used to concede one right at the end because we were getting too defensive. But no, the way it's going at the moment, we have a lucky break of the ball, actually, in midfield. And that then releases James McLean.
Who just battered it.
And that, to be fair, that is Jimmy McLean, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, he, there was no chance it was ever going to be anything finesse.
No.
It was going to be whacked.
No.
Anyway.
Can we just say, for those people who are listening to us and don't know the final score, well done, Shrewsbury.
2-2.
Yeah.
And apparently, if there had been VAR, Shrewsbury would have had a penalty as well and won. So there you are. Matthew Rowley says, I think most of us will agree we've got ourselves a great manager. Let the good times roll. I think what we've got to say is there's going to be setbacks as well. It's not all going to be beer and skittles till the end of the season.
Please don't anybody think that we're out of the woods yet, because we're not.
No.
We could equally go on a run of losing three matches and somebody else can do what we've done. But I think it's right to start looking up the pitch, up the field.
Up the pitch as well.
Yeah, I mean up the table rather than down the table. Because if you were sitting there thinking, let's say before the Monday night kickoff, if you were a fan of any of those teams in the bottom three, you'd be thinking, well, West Brom are going to win this.
Yes.
And then we win. And then we win again yesterday. It's not just the winning. It's winning against two decent teams and it's demoralising. And it's... Even though we were 5 points adrift before and we pulled it round, it doesn't mean somebody else can't, but I would say it's
very
highly unlikely that all three will overtake
us. Well, if you look at the form table that I posted on Twitter earlier on,
yeah.
I think Luton have got 1 point out of the last six matches.
But you look at that form table, Russell, and I don't think Derby are far behind us in that form table. I don't think they're far
considering
behind us.
Considering, I mean, we're watching the game against Northampton... with the virtual full side out, it wasn't too dynamic, I must say.
No, but they've got the Wayne Rooney, because it's not Derby County anymore, it's
Wayne Rooney's Derby County. Yeah.
And he always has a knack of scoring. Do you remember a free kick he scored against
us?
I do, so fluke. I just hope we... I don't care if we don't keep a clean sheet, so long as we score more goals than them, because I just want us to beat Derby.
Yeah, and we should have beat him at home, should we not? To be fair.
Yeah.
Bob Hardy says, yes, we have a manager to be proud of. I can't say we haven't had enough goes at it. That's a fact. The cheat's watching.
And, yes, good.
The cheat. Gary cheat. Eagles says, great intro as always, Russ. Oh, that's nice. Gary Pardy says, good evening. Well, what can I say? A few weeks back, I said, we'll get it sorted. You, Russ, said, what have I been drinking?
So... What have you been drinking? Can we all have a glass? I'm not drinking anything tonight.
I'm just drinking cups of tea. Good evening, Russ and Angela. I'm feeling quietly confident now, says Sue Burgess.
So are we all.
The cheat says it's Shrewsbury 2, Liverpool 2, yeah, as you've just said.
Yeah, well done, Shrewsbury, because they deserve the replay, don't they, in the money?
They're fantastic. They will get some great results, don't they, the old ground and at the new ground. Yeah. They've got the habit of doing it in the cup.
As we know.
Lee Payne says, we look like us from 10 years ago, hard to beat and putting everything on the line. By the way, let's hope Liverpool don't go 2-0 up at Anfield and coasting like we were last season, like you say. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anything like that turn around. Gee whiz. Gary Pardy says, with me living in Shropshire, I won't hear the end of it. And Martin Moss says, since Michael O'Neill has taken over, he's brought back my love for the club again after I think the majority of fans had fallen out of love with the team. Long may it continue.
Would agree with that.
Ear, ear to that, Martin. Fantastic post, that is. We would all agree with that, I think. Scott Price says, evening, Russ and Ange. What a turnaround by Michael O'Neill. Fantastic results against West Brom and Swansea. The squad are together, playing for each other and the manager. The feel-good factor is back. This is Stoke City. We all follow and love. Well, you can tell me and Angie are sitting here all happy tonight because we're feeling confident about everything. Dan Air says, just smile and say well done as we quietly and optimistically climb the table. Mark Keegan says, evening, both. It's nice to see the difference. It's not going back to Jack as much as it used to do yesterday. Brilliant Smith, man of the match. How much has he come on? I tell you what he was good at yesterday. He was good at intercepting, reading the game and reading what they were trying to do. Because, like I say again, they didn't do much trying to pump the ball in there towards the end. They were always trying to play it on the deck and trying to play it through. And Stoke were cutting it out time and time and time again and breaking on them. Which was great to see. And what their manager was thinking, I have no idea. He might have been just thinking about the first 25 minutes, where quite rightly they probably should have taken the lead with how they were playing. But that's all. Neil Price says, finally got our club back, loving football again. Stuart Faulkner says, I can see Stoke going on a run. We're already on one, Stuart, I think, if you check the form table. And thanks for your nice comments lately, Stu. It's very, very nice to receive them on Facebook. Liam Clarkson says, fantastic result. Formation suits the players. Allen, cut above the rest in this league and a great asset. Joe Allen was, from my opinion, wonderful again yesterday. Superb to see. He's really hit it off like a house on fire with this manager. And he's got a manager who he believes in, I think. Still think we need some competition for fullbacks, and we're only a few injuries away from looking light in these positions. Can't argue, though, Michael O'Neill is working his magic on a squad that is one of the best in the league. Ben Davies says, let's be honest, before Michael O'Neill's first game, we could have only dreamed of a 50% success rate. James' style, albeit was attractive, was not suited for a hard competitive championship. Signing Tyrese, which we haven't mentioned yet, Ange, to a new contract. He was non-existent under the previous manager. Seeing Juve again, if only brief, and a sense of confidence again around the squad and the team. Butland is reborn. Allen seems content. He's a very quiet manager without the media show. We're actually now looking forward to a good end to the season. We should be strong next season. Well, all very true, but let's get this season over first, in my opinion. Well, let's get safe and see where we go from there. Do you want to say anything, Ange?
Stokey Mark says, it's amazing what Michael O'Neill has done in this time and since he's been here. He deserves all the plaudits he's getting. Big shout out to Billy McKidley too, who really strikes me as a proper football man who demands respect from the players. Let's not underestimate what a turnaround this has been. Bottom of the table at Christmas and now 7 points clear of the drop. Yeah, there's much more to do, but let's enjoy looking forward to football matches again. And I think that's the most important thing. People will now start returning. I've no doubt that people with season tickets have not gone because what's been on show has been awful. But now maybe that people will go back and start getting back into the thought of enjoying the game. Keep it tight, says evening all. Now we can finally breathe a bit from relegation. I was just wondering if you've heard anything about lighting up the Gordon Banks statue. I've noticed it's still in darkness. I'm also looking forward to a late push for the playoffs. The lighting of the Gordon Banks statue has been discussed between the City Council, who own the land, and Stoke City Football Club, and as soon as we hear anything, which might be a while, we'll let you know.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was done in red and white?
Yeah, it would.
Paul's obviously thinks I'm younger than I am, Ange, because he's referred this one to you. But I was standing in Gay Meadow on this particular day. And you might remember Shrewsbury Town 1, Stoke 0. I remember it was a really cold day.
Paul Dyson
scored. It was a centre-half. And what I might add is I'm sure it was a Paul Dyson own goal.
I think it was.
That was Shrewsbury 1, Stoke 0. That just shows. I might be wrong. See if you can correct me. But
Paul, I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but Russell's actually older than me.
Yeah.
It's just that he dyes his hair and I don't.
I'm 50 this year, by the way. I don't want to tell anybody.
Yeah, but don't bother telling anybody. Before you go
don't
back.
Don't send me any gifts, will
before
you?
Before you go back, what about this then? We've had a message from Roger on email. He says, when the Booth End started singing at the end, and the whole ground started, "We love you, City, we love you," at the end. I could feel the raw emotion pouring out of the fans. It's a long time since we've heard that. We're a team reborn in the true traditions of the oldest club in the football leagues. Sheer fighting spirit and hard to beat once again, and we're banging in the goals to crown it all. After 4 years of heartache, it looks as though we've turned the corner. I'm actually taking a look at the playoff places. Is that wishful thinking? Look what Villa did last season.
Yeah, I tell you what I feel good for. Listening to that in injury time yesterday was people like Joe Allen, who've had not much. They haven't seen. If Joe Allen's missed, you know, all the great days there, and the great atmospheres, and you know, all during the Premier League stuff. All he's had really is negative times, and he's like worked his socks off most of the time in poor setups, poor sides and things like that. And he actually heard, I think for the first time yesterday, a crowd that was really united, really believing for once in the players. And you know, some of the wins we've had over the last 2 or 3 years have sort of against Derby and Leeds, they've been good games, but there's been nothing to follow it up, has there? We just folded again. That was a jet. Like, I quite agree with what the gentleman said there about the. It was an outpouring of people who were proud of the players again, and it hadn't taken long to get that feeling back again, but it was needed, and the players have got to take credit for it, as have the manager as well. They've like sort of there's a bond there developing again with the fans, and Joe Allen is someone who I'm glad he actually heard that. Because it's been boos and jeers and whatever, and he actually heard what this crowd can actually be like, and that was, believe it or not, 8,000 short of capacity, but it certainly sounded damn loud towards the end. I think it was a relief as well, Ange, because it's a relief that we're actually watching a team that we can get behind again, you know. Neil Price says, Ince needs to work on delivering crosses with his right foot more. You've got to have a right foot first, I think, Neil. He's very, very confident on his left foot, but not on his right, I don't think. Gary Pardy says, never mind, a few weeks ago we would have sold Ince, a few months ago we would have sold the team.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Paul Lick says, Ince will be up for the game against Derby, being his old club. I wouldn't bet against him scoring either. He's due a goal. Stuart Faulkner says, Jack's playing well. He certainly is. Martin Eagle says, evening, Russ and Ange, any recommendations for hotels near Wembley?
Yeah, there's a hotel right next door to the stadium.
Yeah.
That's the closest, and you get free parking with it.
You know what he means.
Yeah.
Liam Clarkson says, any updates on Shawcross and Campbell?
Well, I just said that, for what it's worth, my own opinion is that Ryan's looking better and better. I wouldn't change a winning team, actually. So hopefully he'll make the bench. And Ty, I don't think Ty will be ready until the following match, but he might go on the bench too. They're certainly not too far away, which is good news.
Well, John Stoddard says, do you think getting rid of Andy Carr has helped Jack Butland? And I'll come on to the next one.
I honestly don't know. I know that Jack was very close to Andy, and Andy, it wouldn't have gone down well with Jack. But I do think that you can't say that maybe things needed freshening up at the back of the club, and it certainly doesn't look like it's done any harm. I still think Jack stays on his line too much and doesn't dominate as much as he used to, but he's certainly far better keeper than he was not so long ago, and when you see how far he seems to have fallen from grace, I just hope he pushes on now and just sort of throws it back in the like of Gareth Southgate's face, because yeah, we've got one or two other good goalkeepers as well as Jordan Pickford, but even Pickford's coming in for a bit of stick at the moment. So
I tell you what we have got, Ange. We've got a lot of good young goalkeepers at the club.
We've always had good keepers at Stoke for as long as I can remember.
I'm not talking about, you know, the ones in the current first team squad.
Yeah, no, I know you're not.
There's a lot of good young keepers out on loan all over the place, and we've got some decisions to make at some point, because we might get this wrong, you know. We might end up letting one of these young keepers go, because we can't keep them all.
No.
And I've got a feeling whoever we let go is going to end up being an absolute gem. And he also says, heard yesterday that Valinden had been poor in training. You heard anything about this, Ange?
All I've heard is that he's been injured.
Okay. But it wouldn't surprise me if the lad was feeling a bit low, because he's been dragged out of somewhere where he was playing really well, potentially with the promise of maybe playing football here.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really materialised since he's come back. Obviously, if he's injured, that's another story. But you can imagine if he was fit after he's been dragged back from being the star man from Bolton, that would have been a bit of a kick in the ghoulies for him. Anyway, Martin Moss says Sam Clucas is on fire. Why shouldn't he celebrate in front of the Swansea supporters as they gave him stick throughout the game? To be honest, I hardly noticed they were there, the Swansea fans, to be fair.
It's a long way,
Ange. Liam Clarkson says he's still not sure on Vokes. He doesn't seem match fit to him. I think he got injured again yesterday, or he had a knock, didn't he?
I tell you what, he wins a lot of headers, but it must be soul-destroying, and I know the system we're playing is suiting us at the moment, but it must be soul-destroying at home to have to chase your own headers, because he was the only one up front again.
Powell did make some runs behind him, and he was unlucky. He was unlucky in the second half with one flick that Vokes got he just missed out on getting a touch on, or else he'd have been through.
Yeah.
And that's what Powell's got to do if he's playing that role. Stuart says Sam Vokes needs to move on or go to Slimming World, as he might get faster. Stevie Breeze says, did I hear we were in for Josh Laurent of Shrewsbury? Are we pronouncing that Laurent in the French way, or Laurent, or what? Because he's having a cracker against Liverpool. Well, if he has had a cracker against Liverpool, that'll probably cause us a few problems in signing him there. Dan Air says, do you think that the youngsters like Valinden, Sorensen and Goy will be increasingly involved in the first team as the season continues? Along with Campbell and Collins, they look to have an exciting spine for us, showing pace and talent. On top of that, a number of the youngsters in the under-23s and under-18s, who do you think will break through over the next year or two? Exciting and cost-saving times ahead. Well, I'll tell you what. As you probably know, I've been watching a lot of under-23s and under-18 football and non-league football lately for the purposes of my job. And there's one player I am hugely excited about who is at Stoke City, and that is 16-year-old Mo Sanko. I think we've got an absolute...
He's one of mamas, isn't he?
He is an absolutely wonderful talent, Mo Sanko. He's only 16. He's already been in the under-23 squad. And I don't know what his contractual relationship is with Stoke City at the moment, but if I was Stoke City, I'd get that boy signed on a 5-6 year deal now. Not if they could, like they did with Ngoy, I think. Did they get Ngoy on about a 6-year deal or something like that? Well, they want to get Mo Sanko on as long a possible deal as they can, because Mo Sanko is going to be one hell of a player for Stoke if we can keep him. He is a superb goal scorer. He's a real handful. And like I say, I couldn't believe the other day when I actually found out he was actually 16. Unbelievable talent. So there's another one there coming through. When you think about Tyrese Campbell and people like that, you know, when you talk about Mo Sanko, and there's another lad playing for the under-18s who's also Godfrey or something like that, who plays up front, who reminds me of a better gift than Noel Williams in respect to the fact he is just a massive handful and really talented player. So there's exciting players all the way through the under-18s in midfield, defence. I could go on. Really exciting times. Mark Woodward says, settled teams do well. Look at when Leicester won the league. That's very true. They didn't use that many players, did they, when they won the league, Ange Leicester? They really, you know, the team rates remain constant virtually all the way through the season. Trevor Hughes says, what a turnaround it is. Same team from a few months ago, onward and upwards. Ben Davies says, it's important to note that once again, the opposition manager mentions the home crowd can be got at. Maybe we need to be careful not to be too negative early on into the game, despite a poor start to the game it may be. As it's true that if we don't get behind the team, the opposition try to play on it early. We need to get behind the team fully and make the Bet365 a place of fear again. I think, Ben, my personal opinion is it was just the fans trying to get the players going rather than anything else. They were just a bit concerned about the first 25 minutes. There wasn't any criticism particularly.
Well, it was quite interesting that Michael O'Neill did say in the post-match, which I think you might hear, that he felt the fans played an important part. And we all know fans play an important part, but he did say that the fans were important and they'll continue to be important at Stoke. I don't know if you want to play out any of the audio at this moment in time.
I will. That's a good idea, actually, Ange. I think I will. We've got quite a bit of audio lined up. Do you want me to what he had to say after West Brom?
Whichever way you want to do it.
It's not much.
Michael, 3 points, a clean sheet and a team performance to be proud of.
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up. You know, I thought having gone ahead in the game, we knew we'd come under pressure in the second half, which we did, but I thought we managed that quite well. And you know, the big thing for us was that, you know, we led at Hull and we lost the game, we led at Middlesbrough and we lost the game, so it was important having taken the lead tonight that didn't happen. So that's great credit to the players in terms of their work rate, their desire to win the game, and the organisation and structure of the team as well.
You seem very calm when everybody else is getting a bit flustered. There was one point where you changed the formation and mm-hmm. it looked like the players weren't quite sure what was going mm-hmm. on. I saw Joe Allen run across to you twice, but mm-hmm. eventually they got it right and we saw it out with the three centre halves at the end.
Yeah, well, we knew, you know, they bring on Chris Brunt the last 15 minutes, and I know the quality that Chris possesses in his left foot, so we knew there was going to be a lot of balls that would come in the box. I thought West Brom are bigger physically than us, you know, you could see that in the game, so we were always concerned a little bit from set plays. So to bring young Nathan in, as we did, gave us that extra height. We just had to shift it really into a 5-4-1 with Sam Clucas playing on the left and James coming to the right, but they got it quite quickly. And as I say, we've got intelligent players, we've got international players in our squad, so they're receptive to information. And as I say, it was good that we adjusted tactically to do that to see the game out. And as I say, it's good to get young Nathan on the pitch as well.
And Tyree scored a good goal that we're expecting him to score now, but unfortunately he went off injured. What's the thoughts on his injury?
Well, it's a hamstring, so we're concerned about that, obviously. But, you know, again, he proved his worth. He hasn't played much as the nine. He has a capability to play there, but he's still a very young player to play in this level of football in the Championship. There's not too many 20-year-olds playing as the number nine. But I thought tonight he stretched them, which we wanted him to do. Took his goal really well, and Ty just has that nose for goal, for opportunities as well. And hopefully, as I say, the injury won't keep him out too long.
And to be fair, we created the best chance in the second half. Lee Gregory possibly could have put the game out of sight.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Joe does great. It's a great little run, you know, and from Joe when he wins the ball back, plays Lee in. It's not on a stronger side, and possibly could have squared it, actually. I think Joe was back in, possibly could have finished. But yeah, it would have been nice to get that second goal. Certainly would have made the last 10 minutes a little bit easier on the nerves. But overall, as I say, we're delighted with tonight's result.
And last question from me. On to Swansea now and a chance to make the gap even bigger.
Yep, that's what we have to aim to do. You know, I think in the Championship, if you can get momentum and you can sort of string 3 or 4 results together quite quickly, your situation can change. We saw, obviously, that with Middlesbrough, having beat us, and then Middlesbrough went on a run that lifted them up the table. So we have that opportunity now. It's a big week for us, and difficult week, obviously away at West Brom, it doesn't get any more difficult, so now we have the opportunity at home against a good side. But yeah, 3 points would be most welcome again.
Well done.
Thanks for...
It's quite interesting that we all know that Tyrese Campbell signed the contract. I personally didn't think he would sign it. It was made very obvious to everybody that that had we had the previous manager and he stayed, then there's no way Tyrese would have stayed. And you can see the tweets that Tyrese has put out, that Kevin Campbell has put out, saying what a class act Michael O'Neill is. But there was one tweet which I thought was quite funny, where Kevin Campbell, you know what I'm going to say, Kevin Campbell said that our CEO, Tony Scholes, was a class act and had been nothing but professional throughout. And I had to laugh because not one person commented on that tweet. Not one person said, oh, are you sure you've got the right bloke? Or, no, he didn't. And I just thought it was so obvious that nobody wanted to read that tweet. So I'm not quite sure why it was done or for whatever reason. Scott, I've seen you put a comment on Facebook. Clearly we can't comment because we don't know if it's true or not. The only thing I can comment on is that... it was Tom Edwards' 21st birthday this week, and we all wish him a happy birthday at Not FM.
Okay, Jackie Sedula says, love having my stake back. There's one difference it makes to your week. The only negative was the first half was a bit flat and the ground was flat too. Second half was all different. We got the noise back at the stadium. Ben Davies says, what do we make to the Blackpool signing? That's Jordan Thompson, for those of you, I'm sure all of you know. Some fans are negative that it's the lower league, but surely we have been there and signed higher league players countless times. I don't care where they've been before, it's what they show us on the pitch. And if Michael O'Neill believes in him, we should trust him. And I think he's, to be honest, he's handling him brilliantly at the moment. He's letting him settle in, sit on the bench, and you know, he's never played at grounds like the Albion, and he's and atmosphere is down about 365 yet. So he's just bedding him in nicely, I think, and until he needs him. Scott Price says Michael O'Neill's record is 7 wins and 2 draws. Well, that's the positive side of his record. 23 points, that's an improvement compared to the first few months of the season. Long may it continue. It's a damn big improvement on the first few months of the season, particularly in points tally. You know, we're getting points at the moment we wouldn't have dreamed of daring to talk about even a couple of months ago, let's be honest. Neil Price says, the first time this season we're looking up the table, not getting complacent, we've still got a lot of work to do. I quite agree with you there. Steve Breeze is tipping the top six, though.
Are you really, or are you just being over optimistic?
Well, there's beer flowing. Mm. There's beer flowing, so it could be. Dan Eyre says, I agree that we're doing the basics again, and it's having an effect. From Jack to the front line, we've been so disciplined with teams who come at us. That said, we've previously found it difficult to run out of ideas against teams who sit tightly. Will this change with Michael O'Neill doing the basics right, or will there still be a thorn in our side? As it has been from our Premier League years. It's a good point, and that's up to Michael O'Neill to figure out a way with the players. I mean, apparently this Jordan Thompson, Ange, for example, is a free kick expert and a dead ball expert, and you only need a good one of them in a tight game when a team's sitting back against you sometimes to win a game of football. So maybe that's one of his strategies of winning a game like that, you know, get a free kick and hopefully bury it. Wasn't it? That was a fantastic free kick, by the way, by that lad yesterday. Wanted it straight after we scored.
Yeah, shame it at the bar, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. Well, again, that's another example of football changing around. Yeah. Football changes.
But the refs don't, do they? They're all blind.
No, but to be fair, that we did make a bit of a pig's ear of defending that run across the box there. You know, three players go in challenging one player like that. You know the inevitable scenario, what the referee's going to give a foul, isn't he? And like I say, if that had been, it was a great effort, a foot lower, it would have been in the goal.
Can I just say at this point, while we're talking about referees, I was the opposite side of the ground on Monday night to where Joe Allen had the temerity to run into somebody's elbow and then fling himself to the ground as though he'd been elbowed and then get told off for doing it. I just can't comprehend how refs don't see that. Similarly, yesterday we had their bloke take Alan out. Wasn't it Alan he took out? And then tried to take him out again, and he didn't even get a caution.
Liam Lindsay got away with one yesterday as well, when he handled the ball on the floor, and the referee didn't even speak to him.
No, I know.
He waved play on,
yeah,
but he could have still booked him.
Yeah,
he didn't. And I thought he was definite. Well, anyway, let's not talk about referees. I've seen a great one this afternoon. Anyway, showed everybody the way to handle a game of football, so they're not all bad. Liam Clarkson says, Derby playing on Tuesday night won't stand them in good stead for the game 72 hours later. Wayne won't be able to wobble around for a full 90. I'm saying 3-1 to Stoke, says Liam. Leonard Smith says, take each game as they come. We've still got a long way to go. I do disagree with the opinion of Ince being a talent. Yes, he got the assist against West Brom, but what else has he done? It would be nice to bring in some pace up front. Looking forward to the remainder of the season. John Woodall says, I think Michael O'Neill has got the same mannerisms as Alex Ferguson.
I think he has to a point, but I don't think he goes into the Fergie time flinging his toys out of the pram if things don't go for him. I have to say that whenever I talk to the man in the press conference, whatever question I ask, he answers intelligently, and calmly, and is obviously a thinker about the game. And as I say, that to me, the sign of a good manager is never sitting there just feeling happy and content with what you've got. He's still always trying to move forward.
And when we have that sort of comparison, I'm really looking forward to making that comparison when he's won numerous Premier League titles for us and numerous other cups, and we won the Champions League and things like that. But I do think there is some comparison in respect of the respect that maybe he's getting from the players.
Yes.
There's some sort of comparison there. But obviously he's got a lot of work to do to, you know, if he got this club promoted back into the Premier League again, and kept us in the mid table of that, he'd have done a wonderful job. Gary Pardy says, one thing I've realised is we don't need tippy-tappy football in this league. I don't think anybody's won this league with tippy-tappy football, have they, Ange? I mean, we didn't get up with tippy-tappy football, did we?
No, we got up with strong defence and
long throws.
Swashbuckling long throws.
Long throws. Leonard Smith says, Butland looks more comfortable now. Our defence is tightened up a bit. I'm sure that's true. Carlo Balzer is singing the Michael O'Neill song there.
Go on then.
No.
Okay.
Mark Keegan says, just a quick question. When Shawcross back, does he go straight back in the team? A few weeks ago I would have said yes, but I'm not sure now.
I don't think you can change that team at the moment, do you?
You don't need to rush him back anyway now, do you?
No, but I don't think you can change that team, do you?
No. Philip says, the highlight of the West Brom game for me was the last minute chance that the dirty elbow player... Was that Rod? What's his name?
The foreign bloke.
Pereira.
Yeah.
Shot over the bar, and Tommy Smith went over to him while he was on the floor and gave him a right mouthful.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I saw that. I think he was saying, bad luck, old boy. You shot that the wrong way.
Gary Eagle says, going back to your intro music, Russ, how many listeners can name what it is?
I can.
You can, can't you?
Yeah.
Well, you're not a listener, though, are you?
Well, I've listened.
Martin Moss says, something completely different. What do you think of clubs doing the flashing lights on the pitch before kickoff? Personally, I would love to see this at the Bet365 in red and white lights.
Do you know what? I think I don't mind whether it's there or not. What do you think? I just want the match to kick off.
I thought what Wolves had done in relation to the pre-match entertainment that they do, it's just pre-match entertainment for the kids and for it just builds the atmosphere, doesn't it? Obviously, Spurs do it as well, don't they? They've got the opportunity to do it with their new equipment. I doubt very much whether we've got the opportunity to do it with our lights, to be honest. But I stand to be corrected.
Well, I bet that costs. Hold our telephones up.
I bet that costs money to do that. Yeah, and I think
that's
only
a player. What do you want, a player? Or
lights.
Some lights.
Or Wi-Fi, even.
Hmm.
It's like Tommy Smith and Danny Bart, to name a few. Solid and like new signings. What on earth was going on in the first half of the season? You can't expect so many players to go from mediocre to be very good in such a short period. The only negative is that maybe this show some of our players only perform if they like the coach and manager, which in the long term could be a danger. I think you could almost translate that to any work environment, couldn't you, Ange?
I certainly think you could. I mean, we're an exception because we can't stand each other, but we work with each other on a Sunday evening.
We seem to come together on a Sunday, yeah. It's amazing, really, how it happens.
I actually go out of here at about 9:10, punching the air. As though I've just scored the
I even know what you're going to say.
Yeah, it's very bad.
Stuart
the
Faulkner says...
predictable springs to mind.
Stuart Faulkner says, the feeling of a winning team has been a long time coming. Top man Michael O'Neill and a team playing as one, just like the old Stoke. Gary Pardy says, it looks like we have a good player in the under-18s. Forgotten his name, but he scored a hat-trick yesterday in the 8-0 win. Well, funnily enough, I think it's the player that I've been talking about. There's a lot of good players, by the way, in that under 18 side, to name but a few: Akanji, Rhys Jones,
that's a few.
Adam Porter. I could go on and on and on. And there's Tom Sparrow's out on loan at Kidsgrove.
I know his brother Jack.
There's some really, really talented young Patrick Jarrett. Some really talented youngsters. Jim Gilb says, given what Russ is saying about the potential youth coming through, if we get to a stage in the season whereby we are safe, do you think both it would be a good chance to start giving the youth some first team action? I think what we're going to have, just by watching the under 23s and under 18s, I think we're going to see. I think you've seen Danny Jarvis leave lately, go to Wrexham. He's 23. Perhaps he wasn't going to break through into the first team. I think you're going to see some of the under 23 players leave the club and be replaced in that under 23 side by a lot of these lads who are coming through at a much younger age. I think they've really got the. When you got to the age of 23, Ange, I think if you haven't broken through
and
by
scored
then.
He scored in his debut for Wrexham.
Correct. And he's going to, as somebody said to me today, he's going to do well and earn a lot of money. Playing for a football league club, I think, at some point.
Yeah.
But in the, you know, perhaps League One, League Two, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's still a good career, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But he wasn't gonna break through into the first team at Stoke. No. So his agents have done the right thing, shifting him out. Dan Eyre says, before they ask again, have you managed to sort out jumper gates?
I have managed to sort out jumper gates.
I was berated about this yesterday by Ted and Jules.
May I just say that the jumper has been to too many away matches in the past few weeks and been whizzed around outside waiting by the Stoke bus. I'm sure the players wonder why this jumper is always standing by the Stoke bus looking for Ted and Jules. So I decided that as it's a lucky omen, I'm simply just going to take the jumper to all the away matches, whiz around the bus three times, and then present it to Ted and Jules the last match of the season. So there's your answer. The jumper is going to every away game and doing a lap of honour of the bus. In fact, I think Ryan waved at the jumper the other day, and it'll be delivered at the end of the season. Ted and Jules are aware, and they're probably laughing as they read this now. In fact, Ted got Jules a Tyrese Campbell shirt to for having to wait.
He did.
For that.
He did, indeed.
So
I
Jules
saw that.
Had done twice as well. He'd been twice as well off.
Warren Marriott's giving the... oh, my word. Just seen that pop up there. I can't believe that.
What's that?
Oh,
my word.
Yeah, that's a big story, big sporting story that I won't say anything about until it's confirmed. Stevie Bree says, we now look like a team. Players are now playing balls where they know their teammate is going to be. I've not seen that since Arnie and Shaqiri. Warren Marriott is pushing a story about could be a push for the playoffs, possibly.
I just don't want to say too much about that because when earlier in the season I said we won't get automatic promotion there, we might only get to the playoffs, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek. You just have to look. Could somebody tell us where the Villa were at this stage of the season last year? I know that they had a great second half of the season. I know at the start of the second half of the season they're on the same points as us. But could somebody please have a look? And let us know how many points adrift they were at this
stage.
Well,
they played us, didn't they? In about January, February, and it was 0-0 draw, wasn't it, at Stoke? Yeah. And if you said to them that then they got promoted, you wouldn't have believed it, would you? John Woodall says, what I liked about yesterday was how we kept our shape in the first 20 minutes when they were on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. Dan Air says, oh, we read the tweet, Ange. We just don't think that Scholes was a factor in the Tyrese signing. He may have been professional doing his job, i.e. the signing process, but my opinion is that his influence was minimal, despite his grinning face appearing to agree publicly for the first time in months. Well, all I'll say on that is that maybe he didn't push it too hard in respect of, do you know what I mean? If he, by making the situation worse, let's put it that way.
Well, I just think they knew that he wasn't going to stay. Callus 12 says, talking about Michael O'Neill and what he's achieved with us so far, I've always liked managers who are calm and measured whether you win, draw or lose, and that's what we've certainly got with him. It's all about keeping a level head and not getting too carried away with the victory or being down in the dumps of the defeat. The total polar opposite to what we had with Jones. O'Neill's installed a new belief in the club and this has rubbed off on the players and the fans. Long may this continue. And I do think that we are now becoming more like we were at, when we were in the Prem and we were bloodying people's noses and we were a team on and off the pitch. And yes, I agree that he's come back smiling after a long time in the wilderness, our chief executive officer.
Steve Breeze says, probably a bit optimistic over the top six, Ange, but we've just got 9 points in three games.
Yeah.
Have we?
No, seven.
Yeah. And only 14 behind the top six. There's always a late runner, so why not us? Oh, I agree with that. I mean, we're quite capable. Let's not get too above ourselves.
We've got nine. Huddersfield.
Yeah, we drew against Millwall, didn't we?
Was that before or after?
After.
Okay.
0-0, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 0-0, but I can't remember now. It's been so long ago.
Yeah, looks like it's confirmed, yeah,
anyway.
Okay. Dan Air says, well, we were 6 points from safety for a short period, and now we're 7 points clear. That's 13 points. We're only 15 points behind the playoffs. Just a cheapy optimistic observation, especially after the desolation and despair of earlier this season. Liam Clarkson says, the issue is that we have 18 teams above us wanting the same positions and we need to play catch-up. They would realistically have to lose all their games as well. So realistically, it's not going to happen. Mid-table would be realistic. Well, like I say, I don't know where Aston Villa were at this point last season, but oh my word, they were a long way off. When they started their run. Jamie Coke says, hi Russ and Ange, commented last week and again earlier, but you didn't read that out. I haven't seen it, Jamie, so if you could resend it, I'd be very grateful.
It has been confirmed.
Okay, well, that's a tragic story. Perhaps you'd like to read that out, Ange, because it is a sports show.
Yeah, well, Kobe Bryant has been reported dead after a helicopter crash in California. He's been confirmed dead by TMZ Sports, and they are saying that he was with at least other three people in his private helicopter when it crashed. So very sad news for
the world of sport.
For the world of sport, but particularly for Kobe Bryant's friends and family. Yeah. Rest in peace.
An absolute legend there of basketball. And while we're on tragic stories, Ange, perhaps it's not remiss of us if we don't mention Jordan Sinner to obviously Lee Sinner's son, who used to be manager of Port Vale, who's tragically pronounced dead this weekend after a violent assault. I can't remember where it took place, but certainly sent shockwaves through the non-league community and, you know, everybody who's aware of the Sinner family. So our best wishes to the Sinner family, Matt Locktown, and everyone else who knows Jordan Sinner. An absolute tragic event, and as you know, a lot probably at home, a lot of games were cancelled yesterday with teams who were associated with the Sinner family and Jordan himself, as a mark of respect, and quite rightly so. But you know, just shows you how precious life is and how easy it can be taken away with those two stories myself and Ange have just referred to. Understand that. Gary Pardy says, I think if a few go out, then a few will come in. However, we'd better be quick. And Jay Denning, in respect of what that Gary Pardy comment was about, was, do you think we'll sign anybody before transfer deadline day, Andrew?
I don't think we'll sign. I asked the question, and he said that they had looked. And I said a lot of supporters would feel it was quite strange that we weren't looking for a left back. And he said we'd got the experience of Stephen Ward and Bruno was doing okay, so he didn't feel it was essential and he didn't feel we would get anybody better than what we'd got. And he makes perfect sense when he says that the only players you're going to get in striker-wise, well, obviously we're looking, are people that either aren't scoring or aren't in their team. So is that better than what we've got? And the same throughout the team. So I don't think we'll get anybody else in. I think they'll be desperate to get two or three players out. I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't a cheeky bid or two for Joe Allen, and then they've got to decide whether they want to resist it or not. But he says he's perfectly happy at the club. Whether that will continue beyond the end of the season, I don't know. So in answer to your question, I don't think we'll be getting anybody in other than maybe a loan.
Well, David Beach, Angie's just answered your tweet, which was, do you think we'll lose any of our marquee players before the window closes, Alan, etc. Well, I hope you're happy with Angie's answer there. Scott Price says, Stoke are good at winning the ball back. Joe Allen does it every game, and Tommy Smith did it several times in the second half yesterday, which is what I mentioned earlier on. Ben Davies says, do we expect Derby to get points deducted? And are we in danger next season ourselves of a fine stroke points deduction due to financial fair play?
Well, there is talk that Derby will get points deducted. I don't know whether they will or not. In terms of financial fair play, it's obvious that we're trying to do everything possible to keep our house in order, and I'm sure that we will if we don't keep our house in order, because nobody will evade it, because they're cracking down on everybody.
And Dan Eyre says, was Danny Jarvis that bad? Everyone was raving about him, so we were surprised he didn't break through. We're surprised he went, but maybe you're right. If he was at 23, when he was 23, he should have come through by now. I don't think anybody's suggesting he was a bad player, Dan. Just sometimes players don't break through, you know, in a football club, and they have to move on. I was surprised. Tell you what, I was surprised about Dan. I was surprised that he was actually 23. So, you know, it's totally the right decision. If he's not, you know, if he's not making regular first team appearances by the age of 23 at the level that the football club as a whole is playing at, then he should be moving on and he should be playing at a level. Don't forget, he's just played academy football, under 23 football as well. Yeah. So, as Andrew will say, the difficulty is then persuading a manager of a league club to take him on if they've never played. And he's not played much loan football either, as far as I know, Andrew, has he? So, you know, so he's got it, he's done well to get a club as the size of Wrexham, and obviously if he does well at Wrexham, no doubt League One and League Two clubs will come in for him, and I hope they do, because he's a lovely lad. Gary Eagle says, let's all chip in a quid for a fireworks display before every home game. Hopefully Denise Coates might give us a donation when she gets her next benefit payment. Oh my word, Gary. Andy,
well, while you're talking about that, Booden Boys 1863 says Stoke haven't got the right setup, even down to the bulb, to do a light show with the floodlights. That's a fact, as Swanick.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
I'm sure Steve Swanick would agree, and I'm sure he wouldn't like the job of fitting the new bulbs to do it either. Is it Gandhi Fernio says, and I have noticed this on Twitter, it's a sign we're doing well again, because people are starting to hate us again on Twitter. Opposition fans, it's music to our ears. It's very true, isn't it? Ben Davies says, it might be very optimistic, but what is Michael O'Neill's contract? He may need re-signing before long, because if he does continue turning us around, the Premiership teams will come in for him. Well, let's not get too excited.
I think we just have to... Stoke have given him the chance. I think he's an honourable guy, and I don't think he will walk out on any contract he has with any football club. What we've got to talk about is whether he'll continue with Northern Ireland. I'm not so sure he will.
Well, like I say, that's for another day anyway, isn't it? I mean, he's doing a great job with us at the moment. And like I say, he went lose three games and people won't care whether he's with Northern Ireland or not anyway. We're back where we... So, like I say, people have seen people criticising John Askey at Port Vale, and then I'm thinking to myself, well, hang on a minute. They haven't signed anybody. They haven't spent anything. You're just outside the playoffs. You've lost a game at Swindon and people are slagging him off. So, I mean, the football is very fickle. We all know that. And perhaps you could even get accused of it on this programme every now and then. Mick Jepson says, Villa were 10th after 26 games and 38 points, apparently. Right.
So it's not looking optimistic then, is it?
Scott Price says Michael O'Neill signed a 3.5-year contract, as far as he knows, or a 3-year contract.
Yeah, I think that
contract.
Was right. It was a 3-year deal.
3-year contract, 3.5 years, whatever. Steve Bree says, in fairness, we just need to keep winning and let teams above us take points from each other. You never know, but as I say, stay up and go again next season. I think our Charlton playing
Huddersfield
this week or something like that. Again, we'd like that to be a draw, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Don't want anybody getting 3 points. Gary Eagle says, as a lot of reaction to this, to obviously the news that we've just mentioned about Kobe Bryant, and you know, obviously this is not a basketball show, but obviously that will be a massive story in the United States and worldwide, people who love the game of basketball. Also, Gary Eagle says, condolences to the Sinnott family from us all, and I think I put a tweet out yesterday where you just, all football rivalry just goes out the window when there's a story like that, and you just can't imagine what the family are going through, let alone his teammates and things like that. Because reading the stats, and he was having a really, really good season as well. It's just tragic.
It is.
Hull play
Huddersfield on Tuesday. Luton play Derby at home, obviously, and that's Tuesday night matches that are concerning us.
There's another. I'm sure Charlton are playing somebody just below us. I think soon. Anyway,
I think that's on Saturday.
Alan Swindle says, I think we were only 2 or 3 points behind Villa when they went on this run as well.
Yeah.
You know, last season. Stuart Fulton says, can you see any more players moving on, i.e. players who are not in contention at the moment, Ange?
Well, I think Hogan and Duffy will go. Whether they go and we have to continue paying them is up for conjecture. I mean, I think if that's the case, I think he'll keep Hogan. I think Duffy doesn't figure at all in his plans. And I also think Duke might go if somebody can find a club for him, because he doesn't want to be at this age, you know, just hanging around hoping to be a bit part player, does he, or playing in the under-23s. And as much as I've never thought he was as great as some people, he's been a good servant to our football club, and he deserves to go out on a better note than just being a bit part player. I mean, I heard Peter Crouch say that the reason he didn't carry on playing was because he didn't want to be seen as a head on a stick to just come and change the game for the last 10, 15 minutes. And I think Mamma Diouf is going to be in danger of...
How old is Mamma now? Mammy.
32, maybe? I really don't know.
See, he needs to find a 2-year contract with somebody, doesn't he? And see out his career, although he probably doesn't need the money anyway, does he? but he needs to be playing somewhere, doesn't he? The age of 32, he needs to be playing regular. Caroline Blore, shame on you, says she's missed most of the programme, she says, but so I'll catch up. Just got back from watching Shrewsbury get a draw with Liverpool.
Oh, did you enjoy it?
I hope she did, but shame for missing most of the programme.
You can listen to it again on the podcast.
Well, many, many ways, Andrew.
Yeah, many ways.
Scott Price says, goalkeeper Joe Bersick signed a new contract. Could he be part of next season's first team? There are a lot of players. There's the lad who's playing for England under-18s as well, isn't it? Nathan Broom. Another one there. Like I say, I think what we're seeing at the moment with the youth of the club, and Richard Carter, who you'll follow on Twitter and people like that, he'll say, we're now seeing the benefit, I think, of the 10 years in the Premier League and all the investment that went into the academy, Ange, because it doesn't happen overnight, does it? You know, a lot of these players, you know, are coming through from the ages of 10, 11, 12, and they're there, and it's great. And we buy some of the players into the academy as well, don't we? But it, like I say, all the teams at the moment are looking pretty promising, you know, and I think the under-23 side next season is going to be a bit special when some of these under-18 players move into it. Anyway, where are we going to finish, says Ben Davies. His prediction is 12th. Go again next season. Bottom to 12th would be huge praise for Michael O'Neill, and a sign that we turned this horrid 3-year corner.
Where do you think, Russ?
Poor Grimes, unbelievable. Mid-table.
I think mid-table. Shall we hear what he had to say after yesterday's game?
You love giving me warning on things like
well,
that, don't
you? I'm just giving
you a warning. I know. Here it is. Swansea presser.
Yeah.
Pouring water.
Yeah, I'm delighted with the result and the, obviously with the clean sheet as well. You know, it was a tough game. I don't think we started the game particularly well. I thought first 15-20 minutes, there was a bit of nervousness about us in terms of our play. I think part of that's down to the opposition. We have to give them credit. They're a good team, and it took us a little while to work out how to make it more difficult for them to build from the back. And we look at that because we knew that that would be something we'd have to deal with. Possibly we maybe were a little bit tentative in terms of how we pressed. But once we got over that period, and then we started to push forward ourselves, and we got that, you know, one or two little opportunities, more belief. And I thought from 20 minutes on, we were good. And then obviously second half, we're delighted with the performance.
And yet we had more chances to score with votes.
He
felt
okay. Yeah, well, I mean, that's. I would suggest that that's probably true if you think about where we are in the league and a team comes in their position. I still think if you look at on the basis of the first half that you know, we had the best chances. You know, we had chances on the counter attack. But I think second half, you know, we were worthy winners, to be honest. Jack didn't have too. He wasn't kept too busy. He didn't have too much to do. So overall, we're pleased with 3 points.
10 points for 12 and
20. It feels like some good momentum building. It is, yeah. It is. You know, it's been a good start to the year for us. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of positives. We're scoring goals. We're obviously keeping clean sheets. And you know, the big thing we have to make sure and we work on is improving our home form here. I think the results we've had away from home have been positive. But you know, since the start of the season, obviously our home form has been difficult for the players, and that's something we have to make sure going forward that we continue to build on. I think you see the atmosphere in the stadium in the second half. You see, you know, the crowd play a huge part in driving the team forward, and that positivity in the stadium is massive in terms of how it helps players, how it makes the experience of playing a bit more enjoyable, and certainly more enjoyable when you're winning games. So overall, you know, that's important that we send the supporters home here happy, and hopefully we've done that today. Yeah, you did. Yeah, I think he was possibly getting a bit of stick for his time at Swansea, having obviously been an ex-player. But you know, Sam had an excellent second half. It's a great finish for the goal. He has that capability even in the first half, and by his own admission, he was, you know, he gave the ball away a little bit in the first half, but he still created chances. He's still our best opportunities were probably through Sam's running power and getting beyond and getting forward. So yeah, I mean, 7 goals at this stage of the season for a midfield player who doesn't take penalties is a great return.
Do you have any problem with what I did?
No. Other than that, I'd rather he probably add it to his overall distance that he covered in the game, but no issue with that whatsoever.
A couple of minutes in the corridor,
And you'll hear Angela Minnick saying well done, as she says to the manager, well done, didn't you, Ange?
I did.
But you're a fan, aren't you, first and foremost?
I am. Stokey Steve 82 says, okay. Hi, I'm convinced that after several attempts, we finally have the right man in charge to lead our club forward. A very clever man who seems to have adapted to being a full-time manager in the hectic championship very well. I wonder if he likes his song as much as we do.
I tell you what, I wish we got that player who was on his GIF there or whatever.
Yeah.
Mark Chamberlain.
Yeah.
My goodness, what a player he was. Andrew Tunnicliffe says something I agree with, because I was at this game as well, Ange. Hogan the other week played for the under-23s and he was not interested at all. I don't think interested at all is perhaps that might well be true, but I wouldn't say that. I'd say he was ineffective.
Mm, okay. It's hard when you're expecting to play first team football and you're playing in the under 23s.
I'm not sure.
Bad to motivate.
Again, I'm not sure what the. I mean, the lad's comments. While Nathan James was here, he was seeing the sports psychologist at the club and things like that. Nobody has got a clue what is going on
very
with these players psychologically or anything. They just think they're automatons, I think. You know, the home life and everything. You haven't got a clue what's going on. Matthew Jones also on that point says, do you think Hogan deserves a chance? He seemed okay to me. Well, he scored some crucial goals, and he's you know, when he has the chances, he seems to bury them. But obviously something's not quite working out, and sometimes players just do not work out at a club, do they? Dan Eyre says, I think we'll finish 12th to 14th, and then next season, if we perform the same under Michael O'Neill, then the playoffs is a possibility, but nearer the top two than squeezing in. It's great, this optimism, and it's brilliant. Paul Heath says, after 34 games last season, Villa were on 45 points after 29 games, and we're on 31. So we'd need to win the next five games to be on a par with that, or four wins and a draw. It's too much to ask this season, 10th for me. Well, on that very point, actually, Paul Sutton says that Aston Villa won 10 games on the trot to get into the playoffs. Well, you know, who says we couldn't do that? You never know. Stuart Faulkner says, we will finish 9th. I think if we do, after the start we've had to this season, I think everybody will be ultra optimistic for next season if that happens. Steve Bree says, my lad is already asking if we can go to Wembley next season. Told him you don't go to Wembley if you win the league. Scott Price says, end of the season he'll take 12th to 14th finish in the table. It'll be something to build on next season. Ben Davies says, what do we think about all the media going on about gambling around sport? Could this impact our owners / advertising if it was passed in the future? It was from the sports minister saying teams shouldn't be reliant on gambling revenues.
I think it's a very interesting point you raise, and I don't think anything will change in the next 3 or 4 years because of all the contracts that have been signed. My own personal opinion on gambling is I see the name of different gambling companies at every football venue. I see people trying to place bets on a different stadium and it being blocked because it isn't the company that they're endorsing at the time. And from my own perspective, it doesn't make me want to bet. But it's obviously becoming a more and more prevalent problem in the United Kingdom, and I'm sure that at some point there will be some stopping it. It's a bit like cigarette advertising on cars and
brilliant.
Stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly that. If you'd have told me in the 70s when I grew up watching Grand Prix racing that there'd be virtually every vehicle on the Grand Prix grid was sponsored by a cigarette manufacturer and sport, you know, generally, snooker, everybody knows about the Embassy World Darts Championship, Embassy World Snooker Championship, it always used to be there, and people thought the sports would collapse without cigarette advertising, if I remember rightly, so I wouldn't rule it out. A ban comes in for betting companies around sport. I wouldn't rule it out completely, but obviously it'd have a devastating impact on us. Shelley, do you want to mention anything about the sweater, Ange? Because Ted and Jules have tuned in.
Yeah, Ted, Jules, somebody asked me about the sweater, and I told them that it has done 2 laps of honour around the bus for several of the away matches this season, and that I had said to you by private message that I felt we should continue this routine until the end of the season. So if you want to break with tradition on Friday, when I go do 2 laps of the Stoke bus with the aforementioned sweater and take it off me, then it's up to you whether you want to break the tradition of my old sweater, your sweater now, Jules, being the good luck charm of the football club. I'm sure the players think I'm a lunatic running around the bus with this sweater. And while we're also on, I noticed that there's another person watching, and if you haven't signed up for the big sleep out, or if you aren't taking part, shame on you. It's for a great cause. If you can donate money or can take part, that would be brilliant.
While we're on that point, and about the potential run earlier on, just before that comment about the Aston Villa 10-game run. Steve Johnson has kindly sent me the table after 28 games there, Ange.
Mm.
And as you can see, Aston Villa were in 13th place after 28 games with 39 points, and Stoke were in 15th last season with 38. And Aston Villa presumably then went on that 10-game run from then. And caught up Derby County, who were in 6th place on 46 points at that point. So I think, is that the amount of games we've played now, Ange, by the way? 28. So we've got, how many have we got? 31 points have we got now?
I'm just going to check, but I know it's 31 points, yeah.
So that's rather encouraging compared to that table, by the way, isn't it not? Where 31 points puts us compared to some of the teams in the bottom three, etc. I mean, Reading were in 23, Bolton 22, Ipswich virtually dead and buried on 18. So
we've played 29 games now.
29 games, right.
Got 31 points and our goal difference is 6.
Yeah.
Minus 6.
Okay, Ted says, just tuning in late again. Ted, where have you been today? I don't know.
It's been jumper shopping for Julie.
He probably has. Think the result will be Derby 0, Stoke 2. Thank you, says Steve Hunt. You'll both be joining us. Well, I don't think I will.
Why not?
At the sleep out.
Why not?
Well, I'll probably be doing something, won't I? Scouting or something.
What, all night? You scout in the middle of the
night?
Well,
I do, yeah. I do. I do.
It's no problem, Steve.
And I've got to be up early for parkrun as well.
We also need to listen to the audio that we have from I'm going to run down the middle of the pitch and annoy all my old supporters.
Or shall we hear from Jack Bolton?
Or
first?
We won't bother. We'll hear from Jack Bolton.
Jack got an excellent 3 points.
Yeah, brilliant. Just shows what this team is about, really. Had a lot of stick, and I've never had any doubts about the lads in the dressing room and the fact that we turn it around. And you know, we're doing really well. You know, I thought we stuck to the game plan brilliantly today. You can get things wrong against them and then cause you problems. And I thought first 10-15 we were a little yard off, but we rode the storm, figured it out, and after that, you know, that's the way to play against them, is to force them into trying to play through you, and in the end they weren't good enough to do that, and we always knew our opportunities if we took up good positions would be on the break, and that's exactly what we did.
3 points were richly deserved, weren't they?
Yeah, we deserved it, even if you look back at the highlight reel, you know, they'd all be ours bar a chance or two. So we were really the ones that looked like we could win the game, and it was a fully deserved 2-0 win.
It makes it 3 clean sheets on the bench, you must be pleased with that.
Yeah, that's what we're going to need to keep us moving up the table. We don't want to be getting beat, and we haven't had too many of them, so you know, to have a little run of 3, the target's got to be make it 4 or 5. That's got to be the mindset going into every game, and give the boys that we do have the ability to score the opportunity to go and win again.
How much of the defensive structure has helped you in terms of keeping those clean sheets?
Massive. You can't do it without you know, people can have the odd worldie and get you out of jail, but you know, you need, you know, to keep clean sheets and consecutive clean sheets. It's a whole squad thing, whole team thing. And we were brilliant at limiting them to minor opportunities. And we defended from the front extremely well.
You personally, you pulled off a few fairly decent saves in the last few games. Just, do you feel as though you're starting to get back to the levels that you want to get to?
I'm there. I don't need to feel like I need to get anywhere. I'm there. I know what I'm capable of doing. And I'm playing, feel I've got a lot of confidence. And when you've got boys in front of you as well that throwing themselves in front of things, and it's just a really, really good vibe. And I feel great. You know, I don't feel like I need to get anywhere else. I'm where I need to be, and feel extremely comfortable in that.
I suppose the word momentum can be used for the right reasons now, can't it?
Yeah, especially in a league where you know, it ebbs and flows, and important thing with the players and the teams that are around us. If we're carrying that momentum, and at the minute they're not, then you know, the only way is up. So we've got that momentum. We need to keep it going. You know, a well deserved day off tomorrow for the lads, and we attack it next week, making sure that, you know, Friday we go to Derby and we win.
And that was Jack. And I was pleased to hear Jack sounding so confident, Ange. It was nice to hear, wasn't it?
Nice to hear him sounding confident, yes. Nice to hear him being interviewed after a victory.
Yeah. Polls. 3 of them. on my Twitter feed, and a very confident set of fans we are at the moment, I have to say, similar to Jack Butland. We've got the game on Friday night, as you all know, costing, how much is it to go, Ange, as a visit?
£33.
£33. I thought it was more than that. Anyway, a lot of you are very confident about the result, so if you're thinking of going, then get there, because as far as Stoke fans are concerned, two-thirds of us think we're going to win. 67% think Stoke, 28% think a draw, and only 5% think Derby are going to win. Now, we've had some score predictions on here as well. Dorset Potter says, if Friday's Derby performance was anything to go by, we could have our first 6-0 this millennium. Neil Price has gone for 2-0 for Stoke on here, but on Facebook he's gone for 3-0, so he's obviously had a surge of optimism. Well, he's been listening to this show.
He's had a drink.
Vintage Kitchen has gone for confidence is high. What that means in terms of result, God knows. Aaron's gone for 3-1 to Stoke. And Craig Moore, I think it is, has gone 2-1 to Stoke. Now, I also put a poll on about the man of the match from yesterday. The four options I gave you were Tommy Smith, Danny Bart, Joe Allen and Nick Powell. Would you have disagreed with any of those, Ange? Would you have put anyone in?
No.
Okay, that's good to hear for a change.
Well, I don't do polls, so it's irrelevant.
Well, but you can entitle to your opinion, Ange,
well,
on before
I've
chosen.
Well, I've just given you mine, yeah.
Right, okay. Oh, very confident, says Neil. Tommy Smith. Now, this must be a first this season. Tommy Smith's winning the Man of the Match poll. I don't think he's been in it before.
No, I don't think
59%. Joe Allen behind on 32%. Apologies for me stuttering there, because the BBC and everyone else is catching up on the news story we've already brought you, so... it's flashing across my screen. Danny Bart 5%, Nick Powell 4%. Now then, the final poll for tonight is on the points tally for the next four matches. If you're unaware what they are, it's Derby away, Charlton at home, Preston at home and QPR away. Games where you'd hope, even when we were in poor form, we might get something out of. The options I gave you were 0 to 3 points, 4 to 6 points, 7 to 9 points and 10 to 12 points. Currently, the winning one on that one is 58% going for 7 to 9 points, Ange, out of them four matches. I think we'd be very happy with that, wouldn't we?
I went for 4 to 6.
You went for 4 to 6.
I don't do polls.
Which is 23%. 17% of you are very optimistic, going for 10 to 12 points. It might well happen, who knows. And there's very few of you really negative at the moment, going for 0 to 3 points, which is
2%. Were you one of those 2%?
I'm not allowed to vote on my own polls, oh, Ange, okay. As you know that. Mm. I'm like, well, Your Majesty, she's not allowed to vote in elections, is that right, Ange?
I didn't know that.
No, well, I can't vote on my own polls either. Okay. Anyway, so there you are. Thank you to the hundreds and hundreds of people who voted on those three polls. Thank you to the various people who are involved in a number of organisations who circulate these polls for us as well. We're very grateful for that. And
before you
carry on any longer,
Stokey Steve 82, Russians. That's Russ.
Who?
Russian. Mark Chamberlain is my all-time favourite Stoke player. Absolutely unplayable in his first season at the Victoria Ground.
Wonderful.
I have in my possession the large picture of him that was displayed at the original Britannia Stadium. When they did a revamp, they auctioned the pictures off and I made sure I got Chambos. Picture of him in his England kit, 1982, when he scored on his debut v Luxembourg. My prized possession.
9-0 win.
That's great, Steve. I think that's lovely
win, that
have that of your favourite player.
Yeah,
I think Dave Watson
was playing as well that night. I think we had two Stoke players playing that night. Roger Barnett's gone for 1-0 to Stoke, same team if possible, up the Potters. Now, what's this Jonty message business?
I've no idea, but I didn't get the message.
Well, Jonty was down at the ground down at the under-18s match yesterday.
He was
Jonty
also
was.
At the match, and he had what I would call a puce top on, a pinky top, but he never said anything to
me. Well, Jonty, if you're listening, because I bet you are, See if you can message us in on Facebook and tell us what this message was that you forgot to pass to Ange. Stevie Breeze, the cheat. He's going before Evan Manchin. Is it because he hasn't done very well in Super 6 this week?
Vera, just don't tell me the end of Vera. I never watch it. Have you read that school?
Yes, I have, because I'm up with things, moving from one to the other. Well, yes, because I said, didn't you remember? I said he'd put 2-0 on the poll for Derby.
I'll have a drop of what he's drinking.
That's it, yeah. Ted says, we have had Ron from the charity menu night up for lunch. He's doing a great job with the other guys in the team.
Oh, that's nice.
So have you been putting somebody else up, Ted? And Jules, now I bet.
And when are we coming? I'm not wishing to have a go at you, Ted, but perhaps the way to do this jumper handover would be the night we come to do our show from Shea Ted's and Jules.
We must do this.
We'll bring the jumper and we can ceremoniously do a ceremonial handing over of the sweater. And Ross, the fact that you cut that arm out, when we lost that last match, I don't think that's going to go down well at all.
Tell you what, since I've changed the picture on the laptop, Ange, to Peter Crouch, after that goal against Man City, form has definitely picked up.
Good.
Don't you think?
Hurry up.
The Maltese Falcon is watching.
Hello, the Maltese Falcon, Ray.
Ray Kalea, thank you, Ray, for watching all the way from Malta. Stuart Faulkner has gone for a 2-0 win. I'll tell you what, Stuart Faulkner has been really optimistic lately on Facebook.
He's drinking a bit, though.
He's been messaging me. He told me we'd win at West Brom.
Yeah.
And he was right. He was right. Faye's watching. Hello, Faye. Shame you didn't have a game today. Hope you enjoy your 30th birthday celebrations. Gary Eagle says, Ted and Jules are never late. Russ walked into Delilah's yesterday when they were buying me a pint bang on time. Oh, dear. I'd love to know what their shopping bill is in a weekend, their food bill, because they have more guests. It's like a bed and breakfast almost, poor Jules has to cater for.
Yes, but can I just say, we're not going. There's something, I think it's you, Russ.
They don't like me, I don't know. Scott Price says, I'm going Friday, although I think Ted does like me. I think Ted
just get on with it.
Anyway, I'm going Friday, says Scott. He's playing the 30-odd quid. Derby 1, Stoke 3, he's gone for. Stuart Faulkner has gone for 4 wins out of 4 in that. He's really optimistic, Stuart, at the moment. Ant Byatt says, can't wait for Friday's away trip. Martin Eagle says, we'll win 2-1 versus Derby. Dan Lant says, hope everything is well. What great form we are on. And he's going for a 2-1 win at Derby. Stuart Faulkner says, nice to see you've not been told off tonight by the boss. Says Stuart. Have you noticed, Stuart, I've covered up the body bag behind, actually, just for you, and we've put some advertising for Duck Magazine on the door there. Have you noticed, Ange?
No, I don't want to.
Have a look.
I have chastised him, you just haven't been listening.
I think does he mean my wife or you?
Possibly.
Scott Price says, own form is decent at the moment, 6 points against Charlton and Preston.
I don't think we'll beat Preston.
Don't you?
No.
Why?
I just don't.
Okay. Dan Air says, keep it disciplined and it'll be a 2-1 win. And he says, how are we doing? Dan Lant says, we're doing very well. We're very happy, actually. Lee Davies says, I've done it. For the first time tonight, Michael O'Neill is averaging 1.64 points a game at the minute. So we should be looking at 7 points out of the next 4 games. He's doing it mathematically, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, obviously. Ted says, I told him to tell you, Ange, that I was cold because I had no jumper to wear. You're both welcome any time.
If you've got a cold, Ted, we're not coming up.
That's Jules. That'll be Jules saying that. Stuart Faulkner says, I told you would win on Saturday too. Yes, you did, Stu.
Right, well, before we go on to varying other things, Crouch Potato 1, and we still got to hear your mate Sam Clucas. Crouch Potato 1 says, I remember Chamberlain getting a standing ovation in a 3-0 home defeat to West Brom when he came off. A fantastic player, and I was at the England v Luxembourg game on a school trip.
Mark Chamberlain single-handedly won us some games that season, 1982-83 season,
I think. And we had to go and spoil it by
signing Neville. Yeah, who hardly played. But I'm sure that was part of the deal.
Yeah.
Mark Harrison as well. We signed all three of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Mark Harrison cruelly robbed of a football career by a knee injury, because he was probably saved Peter Fox's Stoke career, because I think Mark Harrison was becoming the Stoke number one at the time, wasn't he?
Bowden Boys 1863 says, you don't know how many we've sold roughly for Derby, do you guys? I don't off the top of my head, but I'm sure somebody will write in soon. Let's hear the man of the moment, Samuel Klukas.
Another fantastic win and a good 3 points on the board again today. How would you assess the game?
Yeah, first half I thought was a bit disappointing, really. I think it was a bit sloppy with the passing. Me personally as well, I gave a few balls away and we didn't really settle into the game, but we still had a couple of chances in the first half and didn't take advantage. And against a good team, you probably need to take them, but second half we was different class. I think it was night and day difference, first and second half. Come out, it was all brilliant, created chances again, and on another day I think it could have been 3 or 4, to be honest.
Swansea are obviously in the higher half of the table, and it's great to see that we're once again able to steal some points from one of these top teams.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Last two games, West Brom and Swansea, two difficult games. And like I say, they're at the opposite end of the table to us. So they're two tough games, but we know if we put performance together and we play as well as we can, we'll beat teams at the top of the table. Just trying to be a bit more consistent. We haven't been consistent enough over the season. And hopefully we'll try and start climbing up the table to a position where we should be.
Do you think that obviously beating West Brom on Monday gave you a massive confidence boost coming into today's game?
Yeah, without doubt. When you're losing games, you lose confidence. And complete opposite when you're winning games, you start gaining confidence. And I think you can see that in each performance. We're doing well. Two clean sheets now against two top teams, which is really good from the defence and goalkeeper. We've been working on that really hard on the training ground, trying to be defensively solid, because we know we'll create chances, and we proved that today. And like I say, it's really good. 6 points from them two games is massive, and got another big game coming Friday now.
From a supporter's view, we could obviously see from your celebration how important it was for you to score today.
Yeah, it's always important to score, especially if we go and win. But like I just said in the interview up there, it's only banter between the fans. I missed the chance in the first half, which I should have scored. I was disappointed in that, and then I heard their fans giving me a bit of stick, so if you're going to give it, you've got to expect to take it as well, so it's nice to give them a little bit back, but yeah, it's just only a bit bad now.
Your goal was obviously like engineered so perfectly, it seemed as if it was something like you'd been working on in training.
Yeah, we work on loads of patterns. During the week, like I say, defenders go and defend, and the attackers go and work on attacking patterns to try and score goals, and I think that's showing in the game. We're starting to get the ball out wide, different types of crosses, people getting in the box, arriving late, and I think that proved today.
Next game is away at Derby next Friday. How will the team be looking to get another positive result?
Well, we're off the back of two good wins, so we're going to be full of confidence. They're going to look at us and think they're a team in really good form if you look at the last few games. So, we're going to go there full of confidence and concentrate on ourselves, because we know if we put performance together like we did second half today, we can beat anyone in this league.
It's great to hear our players sounding so confident and not having to apologise for a dire performance, actually. There's a few points that have been made on here. Ray says, Ange, there must be another Maltese follower that wasn't me. I'm not calling myself the Maltese Falcon. Good to see and hear other Maltesers are tuning in. Gary Eagle says, you need to taste Jules cooking, Ange.
Yes, I would love to.
Scott Price has asked us to mention something we should have mentioned, Ange, which is the fact that at last the Bet365 has been chosen for an England representative match again against Andorra, which should be an easy win for England under-21s. It should be a pretty fantastic occasion to go and watch England bag a few goals.
Yeah,
I know that, I'm taking 4 in that game, I know that, so hopefully Stoke public will turn out in massive numbers and we'll fill it for that game. Because
that would be nice.
Yeah. Fantastic. And we also should mention Tardy signing, properly mention Tardy signing this massive contract, haven't you?
I thought we had.
No, well, we haven't properly mentioned it, have we, really?
Properly mentioned it.
Well, you know what I think about him, man. So, I mean, it's pointless going on about it. But like I say, I really do think that there's a 20-goal season striker there at some point or another for the club, so it would have been a shame for him to go for 400 grand to one of the Glasgow giants, I have to say. So at least what this now proves is, and I'm sure there are clauses in the contracts and things like that that have been to protect him, you know, if big clubs come in or whatever, but I'm hopefully we've done our protection from our side. That if he does do well and starts banging the goals in like he has been, we'll get a good fee, you know, at the end of it, like what we've done with Collins and people like that. So, go on, Ange.
Before we disappear too far into the abyss, which we've been staring into for months now, Can we ask you for your score predictions for the match on Friday? I'm going 1-1.
I'm going for 2-1 to Stoke, I think.
Okay. Can we also say that Andrew Tunnicliffe has said in answer to Bowden Boys 1863, according to the ticket office on Friday, tickets for Derby are selling really well. You'd expect that, but I think he was hoping for an exact figure, but thank you anyway.
There was a lot of people in the ticket office after Saturday's game, and I presume those are people buying Derby tickets. You could only presume that.
Yeah. And it was a special offer for... the Charlton and Preston match for season ticket holders.
Could be that as well. Yeah. I'll tell you what, it's always a sign when things are going better as well. The club shop, Kia and I went in the club shop after the game, and it's absolutely packed. I know there's a sale on, but it's another good sign, you know, that people are wanting to buy merchandise and stuff like that.
I think that sale will be on from now till the end of the season.
Well, it was packed full, you know, of people buying stuff, so.
Right, you better zoom through these, Russo.
Russo?
Yeah.
It's Connor, that is. It was nice to see him back on the weekend as well, Connor Russo. We'll get the next Stokey, so I'm allowed to mention him.
You're rambling now.
I know. Lee Davies says, thought Tommy Smith had his best. You were being good up till then as well. You couldn't resist for that, giving me some stick. Lee Davies says, thought Tommy Smith had his best.
Can you just stop here? I forgot my violin.
We finished. Mm-hmm. Thought Tommy Smith had his best game in a Stoke shirt. Go on, you can bar at me all your life. I can cope. Best game in a Stoke shirt. Second half, definitely the amount of cutouts he made to get us on the front foot were unreal. He read the game, like we said earlier on. He read the game very well and where players were going to be. Dan Ayer says, just thinking about our youngsters, including the ones in the first team squad, do you think that any of them have the potential to break into their international squad teams? Not necessarily while they're still with us, but I hope so, but purely based on their potential talent. Tyrese, for example, as are others, are fixtures in their under-23 international teams. Well, like I said, Dan, you may not have been listening earlier on, I don't know, but there are a number of players, in my opinion, who I'd be really sad to see leave in the under-18s and below category, let's put it that way, that I'd love to see us tie down for quite a while. And I'm sure we're working on that. I'm sure we are, because it'd be a great way to save ourselves some money in the future, Ange, with FFP and all sorts of things. We've got a plethora of players in all sorts of positions, to be honest. Andrew Tunnicliffe says, according to the ticket office on Friday, tickets for Derby were selling really well. That's Andrew Tunnicliffe's message.
Please.
Yes, I know you've read that one out. Dan Ayer says, only the Maltesers I know are tasty chocolate ones that have contributed to my Santa figure. Anthony Bowie says, do you think we can recall Harry from Fleetwood? Anthony, I think Harry, according to Joey Barton's comments after the game yesterday, had a much, much better game on Saturday than he has been doing lately.
I don't think we'll recall him anymore.
I think one or two people were saying that he hasn't been as much on form as we would have expected in the recent past, but Joey Barton made particularly reference yesterday, I saw his post-match interview, to say that Harry Suter looked back to his best yesterday, good. So that's good. That's good to see. And you mentioned Glenn Whelan as well, in respect of how easy he fitted into Fleetwood's team. That's no surprise to anybody. I wouldn't have thought Glenn Whelan, he'll always be professional. Liam Clarkson says, in Salon and Powell to score on Friday. Lee Davies says, we play better away and I'd take a 1-0 win. Liam Clarkson says, we sold 1,700 last week and had 800 more given to us. Is that Derby?
Yeah.
And he also says, what's with teams struggling to switch a ball at the Bet365? Keeper seems to struggle. It must be that wind. There's always a wind up there. Ted says, all the 11 put in a shift yesterday, and Andrew says, back on the ticket front for Derby, the club has requested and received extra tickets. Well, before we finish, I must mention the girls today as well, the ladies. It's been a great weekend for the club this weekend, because the women reserves and development sides played today. Both pulled off wins. Shannon Garner scored for the reserves against West Bromwich Albion, and they scored a last gasp winner, Jess Richardson. Scored the winner for the reserves at West Bromwich Albion this afternoon. The development side, where I was at Norton, beat Telford 7-2. Manny Daly scored 4. Caitlin Chapman scored 1. Emma Henderson and Hannah Johnson, who I thought played very well as well. Hannah Johnson, one to watch out for there, including Caitlin Chapman and Megan Hunt. They've got some great young players as well in that setup. So, great weekend for the women. Super Six, I'll mention this, Ange, while we're on it. Tina Priestley topped the board this weekend on 12, and then there were a multi 12, yeah, and a multitude. Well, I didn't get anywhere near 12. I got 5. A multitude of 10s. Pete Roberts, Mark Green again, Martin Eagles, Ryan Charlesworth, Matthew Stafford, Andrew Fearnehough, and Malcolm Cartwright all got 10. Very well done to you all there. Pete Hollitzer is leading equal with Vicky Wood on 297 and Paul Stokes on 295. Really tight. Mark Green on 291.
Well done, Mark.
He's doing well, isn't he, this season, Mark? You're on 279, Angie, ninth. Just below. I'll tell you in a minute. Be patient. I'm not going to deny my inadequacies, you know. play the violin again. Go on. Play the violin again. Darren Evans, you're just below on 280. You'll be pleased to know you're ahead of the cheat. He's in 12th.
Oh, bad luck, Steve. Watching
he's,
Vera.
He's not listening.
That's why he's gone. He's not watching Vera.
That's why he'll be listening. He'll be listening next week if he's caught you up again.
Yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't drink the Guinness or ate the veil.
Russell Dutton is in 32nd place.
So sorry, I missed that. Can you say 32nd
place?
Who is?
32nd place.
Who?
Russell Dutton.
Okay.
Otherwise known as something else. Mm. He's on 240 points, 57 points behind the lead. So I've got the sort of gap in Super Six teams to claw back that Stoke have to get into the playoffs. Let's put it that way. So let's see if we can both do it. Dan Ayres saying well done to Tina. Ted says we'll sort out some dates for you to come up to the McCoys at Clayton Wood on Saturday. The under-18s are playing with a 1 p.m. kickoff. Well, I won't be at the under-18s, I don't think, on the Saturday.
Is that this coming Saturday?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to make a very special announcement now.
You're
going to
go, are you?
On Saturday, I will be wearing a red and white scarf, but I will be in the Vale, at the Vale, watching Salford play the Vale, because you may remember a few weeks ago I told you, Russ, that a member of another media team said to me, you know Scott Brown's mum, and I said, I don't think I do, and it transpires that Liz Brown and I are actually have been good friends for years, played squash together, and the little boy that used to run around and torment the hell out of us when we were playing squash turned out to be Scott, the Vale keeper. So we're going to go to the match on Saturday, because I stupidly said, when Scott asked me if I would go to a game and see his mum, well, yeah, if you can find one when Stoke aren't playing, and what goes and happens. The Vale are playing at home on Saturday, we're playing away on Friday, so I can't get out of it. However, I am learning the Salford songs this week. So,
have you got any?
Well, if they haven't, they'll have one for Saturday. And I'm looking forward to seeing Liz again. But
did
that's
Vale
where
lose
I'll be.
At Salford in the season, or did they
made a draw. But I don't care. I want to go because...
Adam Rooney's playing for them.
Probably.
Salford.
But I'm just letting people know that I will be going up to the Great Unwashed on Saturday, and I'm sorry.
Are you apologising to the nation?
Yeah.
Loads of people.
So I can't go to that match.
Loads of people are coming up with suggestions for games for me to watch on Saturday involving Stoke. All I can say is that I'm not going to be watching the Stoke side on Saturday. I will be somewhere up in Manchester watching a game that I've been specially assigned to go and watch. How exciting is that, Ange?
Wondrous.
Dan Ayres says, haha, give yourself a good scrub afterwards, Ange.
I certainly will.
Well, there was a saying once about if you go there, there's a sheep dip outside or something you have to walk through. Is that true, Ange?
I don't know, but one thing's for certain, Tom Pope won't be reporting about it on social media.
I'm almost ashamed to admit this as well. My daughter asked me, because we were in Burslem the other day, she asked me to show her where Port Vale was.
Mm.
So I actually did. I actually showed her where Port Vale was, and she said, Daddy, that main stand's not very big, is it? I said, you won't see it from the other side, Doc, because there's no seats in it either. Anyway.
Craig's Potato 1 says, I think some fans are getting carried away about Friday, to be honest, when you consider Derby's home form. They've won 8, drawn 5 and lost only 2. We can beat them for definite, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. So I'll say that again. 1-8, drawn 5, lost 2.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with being optimistic.
None at all.
Stokey Matt's gone for Derby 0, Stoke 2, and he says, and this is true, well, I don't know whether it's true, but we did do a poll a few weeks ago about how many points we'd get in the next 4 matches, which have just finished, and Matt says he was in the very much the minority, who said 10 to 12 points.
Yeah, in fact, I think you said you would buy everybody a drink that said 10 to 12 points, didn't you?
Oh, you lie again. Mm. You're lying again, aren't you? Anyway, we've got some... moving swiftly on. We've got some results in the polls now. Stoke 67%, 455 of you voted on that for win against Derby. Thank you so much for all your votes. 79 points in the next 4 matches has won the other poll. 58% of you went for that. 332 of you voted on that one. And Tommy Smith is going to win the Man of the Match poll. He's just this second, actually. He's just clicked that poll's finished. 59% for Tommy Smith. Well done to him. We need to present him with something in a press conference, don't we, for winning that first time. You present him with a golden mic or something like that, Ange. No, that's FM golden mic. 325 votes on that one. Thank you to everyone who's voted on that.
There's more chance of even getting a taking the mic.
Gary Eagle says he'll supply the noose when Ange returns from Bursley.
Thank you very much. I'm just, you know what result I'm hoping for, but I can't say that.
It does remind me of the 80s, that does, when we used to go Vale on one week and Stoke the other, and you used to stand in the whatever you call it, railway paddock, was it, as it used to be there.
The only time I've stood at the Vale is when I was watching Kevin Keane's header go in. When he scored the goal for us.
When Newport County were playing him or something, he had to suppress a cheer when Newport County scored.
Well, it's going to be awkward for me, because if the Vale do win, I'm going to have to pretend I'm pleased.
Dan Air says, we'll just finish with these two. You'll make sure the Harplands is ready for you, Ange, to recover from visiting Vale Park. And Gary Pardy's gone for 10 points from the next 4 matches. And wouldn't that be an amazing return? That'd start getting people really excited, I think, if we did that.
It would. Can I just say thank you to everybody for listening, and thanks to Mark Green for the shows he did earlier.
Yes.
Just thanks all of you for listening. It's great to be back, and we'll see you next week with another win.
You already know what the song we're going to play out with, don't you?
Because I didn't mention it earlier. Give me Shelter the Stones.
No, it was Don't Stop. Because we don't want the players to stop doing what they're doing. So it's Don't Stop from Fleetwood Mac to play us out tonight.